Welcome to Growing Older with Gusto. So glad you clicked on this podcast. I am your host, Gail Zuckerman. What is this show all about? Growing Older with Gusto stems from a blog I began several years ago where I interviewed people growing older in a positive way. This podcast will piggyback on my blog and showcase people over the age of 75 and up to 100 and beyond who have mastered the art of growing older in a vibrant and positive way. The people on my show will share their secret sauce for living well as they move ahead in life. I've had the good fortune to interview people ranging from world-renowned photographers to heads of ad agencies, CEOs, Holocaust survivors, and gold medal winners. It's a mix of men and women, and they are all incredibly inspirational. I believe that baby boomers can learn so much from older generations, much like people in other countries where the older members are revered. These people can inspire us and create a new way of thinking about how we feel about growing older. And hopefully these interviews will help baby boomers to lose their fear of aging and embrace life in a newer way. Again, I am your host, Gail Zuckerman, and I'm excited to share with you some motivating stories through personal interviews of interesting people I've met along the way. Explore, engage, and embrace your future by learning from those who have more experience. Let's move ahead and grow older with gusto. Welcome to Growing Older with Gusto. I am Gail Zuckerman, host of Growing Older with Gusto's podcast, and I'm so happy you clicked on our podcast today. My partner Scott and I, Scott who's a tech guru, started this adventure to provide a forum where people growing older with zest can provide insights for younger generations on how to make the most of life and look forward to the future. Today I have the pleasure of interviewing Larry Clemens, a reflexologist extraordinaire, and a spiritualist who has the distinction of being the first African-American to office in the Garland Building, an iconic building here in Chicago. He is so interesting and has so many great stories to share that I can't wait to begin. So hello, Larry.
How are you?
Great. I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Fantastic.
So Larry, I want to start out, we call these kind of icebreakers, and just to get into the flow of our discussion, I'm curious, what was your favorite color when you were young?
Actually, my favorite color was purple.
Purple? Why right. Purple?
Somehow that color wasn't too bright, and wasn't too dark, and I felt a sense of warmth, and I later found out that it was also a symbol of royalty.
That's true.
And I like the idea of having a color that was both warm and royal at the same time.
That's interesting. I guess over in England they do wear
purple. Yes.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So when you were young, mm-hmm. I can only imagine what you were like, but what was your favorite thing to do?
I love to play with toy people.
Okay.
The little toy figures.
Oh, the ones like made out of wood?
Made out of wood and painted?
And
you played with them, and I just had fun doing that. I was an only child, these little toy figures were like my little friends.
That's cool.
And so I enjoyed doing that, and I played with them probably from a little kid till I was maybe 9 years old.
Wow, and what kind of games did you play with them?
Mostly, this is really great
for your fantasy life.
Yeah, fantasy life. Mostly adventures.
Oh, that's neat.
We'd go trips and we'd climb up things. Of course, we'd be climbing up chairs and jumping down.
So you were an early adopter of what they call parkour now. The young kids are doing this jumping things.
Yes.
That's great. Well, anyway, I thought you would be absolutely perfect for the podcast because of your attitude towards life. It's been my pleasure to get to know you on a professional level. And I think from just sharing the time we've had together, you have so many interesting stories. So I'd like to start by chatting a little bit about your life and how you would characterize it.
How do I characterize my life? I think my life probably can be best summed up in being a very spiritually present person.
How did you get to that point where spirituality became such a large part of your life?
Well, as a young child, I was raised as a single parent, only child, and my mother worked a lot. And she was out work 6 o'clock in the morning, come home about 6 in the evening. In the summers, I was pretty much on my own.
Wow.
And one summer, day. My mom had gone to work. It was probably about 7 o'clock, and there was some smoke that had developed in the apartment that we lived in, and I thought that she had left something cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So I got up and went to see what was in the kitchen that might have been left on, and there was this dark figure waiting there for me, saying he was going to take me, and he had a ball and a chain. I was just shaking with fear.
Wow.
Didn't know what to think of this. And suddenly, another figure appeared, bright, wearing white, and he put his hand in front of me, and he put his hand up to that dark figure and says, "No, you can't take him. He's ours."
Wow.
Within the dark figure charged toward me, and this figure in white put his hand up and says, "No, you can't take him. He's ours." And then the dark figure left and all the smoke left. And that figure said, "I'm an angel, and I want you to know that we will always be with you."
Wow.
And that was my beginning.
Oh, my God. How old were you?
7 years old.
Oh, my God. What did your mom say when you told her?
I never told my mom.
Why not?
I don't know why. I felt there was something special between me and my angel.
Ah. Okay.
In fact, I've hardly told too many people this story. Just recently I started.
Oh, wow. I feel special.
You are.
So, what would you tell someone at midlife, and who knows what midlife is today, because we're all living longer, who wants to know how to grow older without that fear that a lot of younger people have,
yes,
as evidenced by everybody's... Well, for example, People Magazine, they only interview people who are probably under the age of 30, even know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in this country, we always revere the younger for some reason and not the older, which is different in different countries. So from someone like you, what would you tell somebody?
I think the thing for me, and that's not necessarily for everyone, but for me, it was so important to learn how to enjoy being present. As a young person, I was always looking forward to tomorrow,
mm-hmm,
what I'm going to do tomorrow, what I'm going to do on the weekend, what I'm going to do next week, next month, next year. But as I've gotten older, one of the things that I've been able to do is really appreciate the presence. And one of the things that helped me do that was witnessing both my mom and my dad dying. I was fortunate enough to be with both of them when they took their last breath.
Wow.
And that's when it occurred to me that life and death was only a breath away.
Right. You always say the most important thing to us is our breath.
Is our breath.
Right. You're
and
right.
So I said, the breath of life I have, I need to enjoy it. And we don't have to do anything special to enjoy it. We have to be present with it to enjoy it.
So let me ask you this. Knowing how much... you are spiritual and you live in the present, and I think it's wonderful. What's your jam in the vernacular of the younger people? Mm-hmm. What keeps you going?
I like music.
Okay.
So that,
what kind
that's
of music
my jam.
You
have? I'm a big jazz fan.
Oh, I like jazz
and,
too.
I like some of the contemporary sounds too. But I like music. I can listen to music. I can go to opera. I can go to classical music. I like music. And the music, the tempo, the excitement of the music, I really get into it. That's my jam.
Okay.
I get up in the morning and I've got some music going. Go to bed at night, I got some music going. And
that's
for
nice.
Different people, I do like reading poetry.
Wow.
That's something I also enjoy doing.
Do you have a favorite poet? Or?
No, I like them all. Yeah, I like them all.
And I could see you liking E.E. Cummings.
Yes.
So... as you navigated through your life, what do you think has given you the greatest strength? I know there's been a lot written about and a lot of research done on how important it is to have a circle of friends and a support system. What do you think about that?
Well, for me, I know this is going to be probably a twist for some people, but for me, the thing that's given me my greatest strength was my recognition of how important it was for me to love myself. And to be comfortable with just being with me. Not needing someone else to make me happy. Knowing that I could make me happy. And my love was more than enough for me. That was really important for me. It gives me a lot of strength.
Okay. So did you find that getting to that point of self-love and appreciation, did that make it easier for you to connect with other people?
Yes, okay. It does. Because I don't reach out of a need. One of the things that I talk about as a minister to couples that are getting married, I said it's important for you not to need the love of your spouse, but to share the love that you have mm-hmm. with your spouse. Sharing love and needing love is not the same thing. I need something from you. So it's now you give me what I need and I'll give you what you need. It's a give and take. But sharing is not about give and take. Sharing is about sharing. We both are doing it together. And that's what I do. I share love. I share life with those around me.
So aside from music and sharing and doing what I know you do so well, what has given you the greatest pleasure in life that is an ongoing source of pleasure for you?
Besides music, spending time with my family,
okay.
Particularly my grandchildren.
I know.
That gives
yeah,
me a
great,
lot
special
of
grandchildren.
Pressure.
Yeah,
I got a
how many
special.
Do you have now?
I have 13 grandchildren.
13? Yeah. What's the age range?
From 5 to 25.
Whoa.
9 boys and 4 girls. And they are just fantastic.
Do you gravitate towards any special one? Is there a... Are they all different?
They're all different.
You love them
each,
all equally?
Each one is unique. Each one is unique, yes.
And do you all get together as a family?
Yeah, we've had them all here this past few holidays because we had the 4th of July holidays and then my daughter's birthday celebration was this past weekend. She's 50 now.
Oh, my God.
So I had a chance within
big birthday.
The last 2 weeks to see all my grandchildren.
Oh, that's so
yeah,
nice. And they're spread all over the country? Or?
From Seattle to... Atlanta, Georgia.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
That is. Thank God for FaceTime, right?
That's right. That's right. That's right.
So, any favorite sayings or philosophies that you have?
Well, one of my favorite sayings is something that came to me, really, many, many years ago. I was standing on the corner of Foster and Broadway waiting for a bus, and for some reason these thoughts came to me, and I wrote it down. All that appears is impermanent. There's no need to lay claim. Enjoy the coming and the going, for they are the very best of friends. I said, wow, coming and the going, they are the very best of friends. So maybe I shouldn't be trying to hold on to things. Just enjoy them while I have them and move on to the next thing. And that was a big insight.
That's powerful. And when you say things, what do you mean? People, events,
events,
everything?
People, everything. And I say things, I include everything. There's really not much of anything in this life we can hold on to. Yeah.
The only thing they say is true is change.
Right.
Right?
That's the only constant is
right,
change.
Right.
That's the only constant.
If you were given a pill tonight and you woke up tomorrow and you were, let's say, 30 years younger than you are today, what would you do differently? Anything?
When I think about a question like that, what would I be doing differently? Knowing what I know now, I would certainly appreciate my youth a lot more than I think.
What would you do differently?
I took a lot for granted. I think that I would spend more time with my friends. I would be more adventurous. I would take more classes. I would expand my horizons wider.
How would you do that?
I played trumpet
when
I was in high school. I think that I would probably have done more with my trumpet playing, and maybe I later liked the saxophone too.
Wow.
So I would have played the trumpet and the saxophone. Yeah, I would have expanded like that,
very
do
talented.
More things, right? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that's. I would have felt that I could and that I should explore more. Of not the world, explore more of me. And
find out more things you might want to do.
Right, right. Yeah.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
Looking back at society, what do you think has been the largest change in society in your lifetime so far?
The most dramatic change that I've seen in society in my lifetime is the role of women. I grew up when women were pretty much second-class citizens. And to see women now in role of leadership, authority, mayors and governors, and it's amazing. And I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I'm happy that I was able to witness that transition. And now we look at women not as just a secondary, but they're looking at women as equals. And I think that was a major thing for me.
And what has been most inspirational to you throughout your life? I know that you are spiritual, mm-hmm. but what has been the greatest source of inspiration for you?
When I was a young man, I wanted to become a monk. Wow. And I was really planning on going into the monastery. And I had made all the plans, and the abbot of the monastery asked me a question. He says, "Why? Mm-hmm. What do you expect to do in the monastery? Mm-hmm. What do you expect to find?" And I said, "I wanted to find enlightenment." And he says, "Well, then why do you come to the monastery?" Mm-hmm. I said, "Because I want to find enlightenment." He said, "You don't find enlightenment in the monastery." I said, "Well, where do you find enlightenment?" He said, "You find enlightenment within you. You have to begin to look within." Mm-hmm. And that expanse of within becomes your enlightenment. I says, "Wow, I never mm-hmm. thought about that. That what I'm looking for is within me." And then I remember things in the Bible where it says the kingdom of God is within you. The spirit of God is within you. And I says, really, it's so much is within me that I've never explored. I've never even looked at. I'm always looking at what's outside of me. That's been...
So what did you expect when you went to the monastery? What were...
This enlightenment?
What was your intentions? What led you to that point where you'd want to enter the monastery?
I thought that once you got into the monastery, you experienced this sense of emotional illumination that would make you completely at peace with the world. You would be serene and above the drive of power, pride, pleasure, and fear, and that you would just be an ascended person.
What were you like at that point in your life? That made
what was
you,
I like?
Yeah. What were you like? What kind of was the impetus within you that led you to that point where you met the monk?
Well, as a child, my mother had decided that I was at 14 that I needed to live with my father.
Okay.
And so she sent me to live with my father.
And where did he live?
He lived in Chicago.
Oh,
but
he did.
But I didn't really live with him. I didn't know him very
well.
So I did go to live with him. And I felt kind of abandoned.
By your mother?
By my mother.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And I lived with a father who wasn't exactly receptive, but he felt obligated.
Sure.
And so I felt really kind of cut off. And during the time I lived with my father, which was about 5 years, none of my cousins ever visited me. My mother never visited me.
Oh my gosh.
I really felt like... And then my father was a person that was very rigid, and I had to get a job. I had to work to buy my own clothes and take care of myself. He said, "I give you a roof over your head and food to eat. Your responsibility for your clothing and everything else is on you." And so
That's awfully harsh at such a young age.
But I learned a lot from him. He was a good teacher. Good teacher. He made me responsible for myself.
Right. And maybe that's why your mother sent you there.
Maybe that's why she sent me.
It was hard for her to handle a teenage boy.
Right, teenage
I can understand.
Boy,
she wanted you to have a role model.
She wanted me to have a role model. She wanted me some structure.
Right, right.
So anyway, that led me to wanting to really explore this life and what it means.
Because I know
why am I here? You know,
you have mentioned to me in the past that your father, I think it was your father, who was the one who said, when you wanted to go into reflexology, do it, because if you don't try it, you won't know.
Exactly.
You're
going to
be successful, which
yeah,
is really great advice.
Now, my father didn't know anything about reflexology, and he was a very much a hard-working person. He was an engineer, mm-hmm. and he felt like you have to make money the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
You have to earn it. And so when I started to go into reflexology, he says, "You're young enough to try things, and it's better that you try them while you're young, because you don't want to live your life with regrets."
Right.
And that's one of the things, if I could pass on to anyone who's young, who's growing older, don't live your life.
Don't limit yourself.
Limit yourself so that you have to live a life of regrets.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah. Right.
And I don't have no regrets.
That's great. Right. That's great. What? So I have one last question, mm-hmm. and if you want to add to this, this is great. What is your secret sauce, as I call it, to living a really joyful life as you move along?
Well, it's very, very interesting you bring that question, and this is something that probably most people wouldn't ever think of, and that is, I try not to take things personally. What people say, mm-hmm. maybe negatively, or their reaction, I don't take it personally. I'm proactive in my life, and I minimize being reactive.
My mom had a saying in that area, mm-hmm. it was, consider the source. Three words. And
consider
I always hear her saying that.
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
that's a good way to step aside and yeah. not take things personally.
Yeah. So people say something to you or do something, and you say, okay, well, they've got this going on.
Right.
I don't know what's all about. I'm not going to enter into it. I'm not going to try to figure it out. My mother used to say, another thing she used to say, you stay out of grown folks' business. Whatever's going on in their head is their business.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, but I like what your mom said. That's perfect. Consider the source.
Scott and I were talking about what we call the seven pillars of mm-hmm. growing older with gusto, mm-hmm. and they include health, social connections, financial wherewithal, your environment, your purpose, correct mindset. What else did we come up with here? And destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered, just to sort of wrap this up, is there any way any of those pillars play into your life and how you've had such a successful and wonderful time as you've navigated mm-hmm. through life?
One thing that I did learn early in that is about exercise.
Okay.
I think exercise has been a good thing for me because it does keep you mobile and gives you a sense of freedom because you can get up and go and do things and not be dependent mm-hmm. on other people. So exercise is very important to me. My faith mm-hmm. Is also important to me. What I believe in that connects me to the infinite, and so I'm not so dependent on other people as I am on myself for navigating my destiny. I think that I believe in connecting with my friends. We get together at least 2 or 3 times a year and go on vacations together. And when I say my friends, some of these go back to second grade.
Wow, that's so nice.
Still living, so yeah. We really connect. And I stay in contact with new friends. I try to spend time with them and get to know people and let them get to know me. And I actually, believe it or not, I think I spend more time with my friends than sometimes I do with my family.
That happens.
Right,
that happens.
Right. My friends become my family.
So, I'm out of questions. This has been really wonderful. Do you have any other thoughts or comments on the subject that you might want to add before we come to a close?
Well, if I could add anything, I would think that I would like for people who are growing old with gusto to not consider themselves growing old. They're
older.
Older.
Yeah.
They are mellowing with age.
And like a good wine.
Like correct? A good wine. So I'm mellowing, and they're mellowing with me.
That's great. That's a great way to end. So thank you, Larry Clemens. This has been great. And this is Gail Zuckerman, host of Growing Older with Gusto. Thank you for listening to us today. I hope you enjoyed Larry Clemens as much as I have. And we'll look forward to more podcasts in the future. Thank you.
All right. I hope it helps.